original deal. Am I going to the Hamayan? Which came out in Nisan, Tavshin Ayin Aleph. In Hamayan, Tavshin Ayin Aleph is an article entitled Gula Shlishis Ein Lehefsek. Vameh Dvarim Amurim? Question mark. Written by Rabbi Gorfinkel. And it's a 12-page mimer. And he tells you there's some kind of a polemic which precedes him. But it all starts with a something quoted named Rabbi Herzog. It's a quote of Bracha, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. Im rab mefursemet miyucheset the Rav Herzog zatzal. Lefia lo tie galut no sefet. And the question is, where does it come from? Is it really true? Did he say it? Where did he get it from? So he quotes a Rabbi Schwat, who was born and grew up in Riverdale, Ari Schwat, who wrote apparently 6 years ago about the Imra of Rabbi Herzog, and there was a response and another response. That's how they work in these intellectual circles. And Rabbi Schwat's final thing was, "Kedai shenafsik le'ot et hagalut ke'alternativa." You should stop thinking about Golus as an alternative. There's not going to be any more Golus, and that's it. And the rabbi, he tells Rabbi Schwat, does a good job. You shouldn't think Rabbi Herzog is the one who made it up. No. This is a whole long list of sources. There's the Nevi'im, the Medrash, Rishonim. After the Gula Achrona, there's not going to be any Golus, no Sefes. And he said, we are now in, quote, Aschalta de Geula. And so the question becomes, so why are they quoting Rav Herzog if it's already found in the Nevi'im, found in the Rishonim, found in the Midrashim? Well, Rav Herzog is the one who linked the original old tradition, Mesoret HaTika, to the Mitziyut HaMedinit Vatzvait Shaita B'yamav. He attributes it to the state of Israel and the army of Medina Israel. I think that's a mistake. I think that Rav Herzog said it before the state was even established. And I brought you a raya from V'ikvei Atzon, Rav Shechter Shalita. There's a whole piece in this sefer, which is worth reading if you want to be thinking about the Inyan of the Yoma. It's entitled B'gidrei HaMedina U'milcham Osel, similar with base. It's a 16-page mimer. And a lot of stuff is packed into this mimer. And he talks about this as well. I'll read you a few. I can't read the whole thing. 16 pages, you have to look yourself. But some of the highlights which relate to this. Okay. What I mentioned a little about yesterday, he has here as well, quoting from Rav Herzog. Oh, page Reish Tesvov, towards the end. He says, again, this is, he has it the same way. B'shnas tov shin ches, b'frotz melchemes ha-shechrur. So, the Briskerov wanted to leave Yerushalayim to go to Switzerland. I think his sons went to Switzerland. And Herzog went to him and said, you shouldn't leave. There's nothing to be afraid about. Kabbalah yesh v'yadenu, quote, shelo ya'od chur ben shlishi ba'aretz. And the Briskerov answered him, he also has a Kabbalah from his father. As m'shist ant loifne, Meshach writes in Hebrew, k'sheyorim shichim levroach. So, the Rav Shechter Shlita writes, we understand very well. He wasn't arguing with Rav Herzog. He may have the same Kabbalah that there's going to be an uninterrupted Gula. But that's only for the Klal Yisrael. But anybody can fall in battle or fall to a bullet. So he has that's why he wanted to run away. Nothing to do with it wasn't Makhish. But I heard it, I guess this is, so he has the same thing from Tav Shem Ches. I heard it in a different time. I heard it. There were Herzog was in America, I believe. Somehow it was during World War II. I'm sure you can look up a history somewhere. And he wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And And he got somewhere, he got back in the middle of the war. Again, check with the history books. And they asked him, what are you going to Eretz Yisrael for? The Nazis are still fighting, and then Rommel was an El Alamein there, and on the way there, it's not going to happen because he has a Mesorah. But no, but that, the difference is that Mesorah precedes the establishment of the State of Israel. So yesterday we said, as Rav Shech the Shlita has in his Maimer, that the definition of Binyan is when Eretz Yisrael is under the rule of Klal Yisrael. I just want to get, for those who want to look over here, you'll find it on page, same page, Reish Tesvav, quotes the Magen Avraham, beginning of Tzimut Tov Kuf Samach Aleph, Haro Aryu de Bechurbanon, Korea, even though Jews are living there, because the Goyim are Moshe Aleyah. That's called Churbanon. So what do you see? That the Binyanon is when they're under the Shulchan of a Jewish government. That's what Eretz Yisrael's Binyanon. And once it's Binyanon, so then it's not going to have another Churban. Now, where does it say that? He has it on the previous page, entitled on Reish Yudalev, Shelo Yeh Churban Shlishi. He says like this. What do you mean won't be Churban Shlishi? Quote to Ramban. Ramban is the next, not this week's parasha, next week's parasha. Ramban says there are going to be two Churbanas, or two Tochachas. Tochacha in Vayikra is Churban by its Rishon. It ends with the Bracha at the end, you know, you'll see next week. That's because it's very short. And then they talk about Kisavo Nebuch, it's so long, and that's what is going on, as they say the expression of Yiddish, as long as the Yiddish Golos, as long as the Jewish Golos, which is going on now for almost 2,000 years. I'm sorry, yes?
I didn't hear before. What did Rabbi say the verse of Rav's Kabbalah was?
As Mashiach and Leifman. In English. When they shoot, you run away. So Rabbi Shechter writes on the next page, Reish Tezayin, that he wasn't arguing with Rav Herzog. You have a Masorah, there's not going to be another Churban. That's true. But they're going to be casualties. I don't want to be one of the casualties, or my children to be one of the casualties. That's how he presents it over here. Now, so therefore the Ramban is saying that the Tochacha, the second Tochacha, there's no description of there's going to be only two Churbanas of the Medina, and the Medina will not be Churban a third time. So once you have a Medina, etc. Of course, the question becomes, how you define it? He went even earlier than the Medina. Quoting Gemara, both saying the Sechta Sanhedrin. This is an important Gemara, which I think is very relevant to things that are being commemorated and we'll call it celebrated in these days. See this Gemara, Sechta Sanhedrin. Daf Sadi Ches Amud Aleph. Very important. The top of the daf. In Sanhedrin Sadi Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Tosef says, Perek Lamed Vov, or Zion, Lamed Vov, Pasuk Ches. Vatem Hori Yisrael, Ant Bechem Titenu, Perichem Tistul Ami Yisrael, Vachule, Omer Abi Abba, Eilecha Keitz Megula Mizeh. There's no indication of the case of the Gula greater than this. Rashi explains, Shetita Eretz Yisrael Periyah Ba'ayin Yofa, Oz Yikare Vakeitz, Ve'enlecha Keitz Megula Yosef. So already before you ever get to Medina Yisrael, the fact that, you know, if you look at Rashi in next week's parasha, you have to be yoy to Chumash Rashi for the next few months, right? So look at Rashi in next week's parasha. Rashi tells us in the middle of the Tochacha, all the bad things, this is bad, and this is bad, everything's bad, 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 everything's terrible. Everything's bad. And it says over here that the land will be Shmama. Shmama. Okay. So the Rashi says, Vashimos and yes, alright. Zumida Tovali Yisrael. Shlo Yimtsu Oivim Nachas Ruach Be'artzam Shte Shomema Miyoshvel. What it says over here in the Rashi is that the other nations will never have such hatzlach as we have in Eretz Yisrael. You know that the history tells us that we were thrown out by the Bavlim. They didn't have much nachas in Eretz Yisrael. So what about the Romans? They didn't have too much nachas in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was never a blooming agricultural region for the entire period of the long Yiddish Agolos. Never. Just read the history books. Yeah, we know that there was always something growing there. You just read about what was going on in the medieval period. We speak about it sometimes about the Machlokes and Tzfat, the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. If it's Goyish produce, obviously some things were growing, but it never really bloomed and blossomed tremendously. There was some primitive agriculture that the Arab had, and some of the Jews had. Nothing. It started blossoming like crazy in the late 19th century when Klai Yisrael started coming back. I mentioned that Rav Goldberg Shalit, that was in our shul for Shabbos, spoke after Mincha, said another thing I never heard. I don't know what's going on there. It's a drama. I'm a New Yorker. He's an Israeli. He said as follows. Check it out. I don't know what he said. He said that when they threw the people out of Gush Katif, so a group of them decided they're going to try to plant the soil somewhere near the Gazan border, the Egyptian border. He mentioned the names of two or three Yishuvim. It was an area which was so arid and so impossible to plant on, even the Bedouins tried to do something there, they gave up. It was nothing. They had a few tents and gone. He said, I'm sure you know what he's talking about, that now, that's the most productive part of Eretz Yisrael, when they came in there and they planted there, and it's unbelievable, so much is coming out of there. Anyone know what these places are called? Oh, what? Yated. Tell me, Yated. Oh, so you were there? It's true. There it is. You have Eidim, but apparently until they came to the Gush Katif, it was barren. So you see right there the Gemara Tanedra that where the Yidden come, it's part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's bracha. They work harder. Okay, they work. But the Afal Pi came. That's also part of the bracha that they were able to do things which were impossible to be done. So therefore, you got an impression from that time and on. If you look in the Pesukim, Nabi Yechesed, Nabi Tanakh in front of me, but the Rav Shach, the Shlita quotes it over on this page. What's going to happen? Kihin Yalechem, Bafanis Yalechem, and Nevatem, and Israatem, and Noshu Arab, and Charobas Tibonena, Olachti Alechem, Odom, Esami Yisrael, Vyushucha, Vyisalem, Lenachla, below Tosip Old Lashakla. That's important. Once they come back, and you have this agricultural bounty, Lo Tosip Old Lashakla. They're never going to be sent into Golas again. That's quite amazing. Quite amazing. And he quotes another Gemara over here in the Masechta Megillah. It's important to see. Some people do all kinds of funny things. Let's see what the Chachamim say. Masechta Megillah, Rav Osai, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. What's there? Masechta Megillah. Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Same pasuk. Umaro lo makibutz goliyos diachah birchas hashanim. Bichsiv atem hori yisrael anfechem titenu perechem tisul ami yisrael ki kerbo lavo. In other words, that kibutz goliyos is going to come after the agricultural success. We see it happening. It happened. A couple of cherva. How many cherva came originally at the beginning when they had the aliyah aleph, what they called aliyah bet, the 19th century? Okay. But then they were successful agriculturally, and then, now 100 plus years later, there's 6 million years in Eretz Yisrael. That's a tremendous amount of number of people. You know what? It may come to pass very soon, very soon. Some of you may have been in shul this morning. I hope so. And there was a pasuk which we read in Kriyas HaTorah this morning. I want to read it to you from the Chumash. The pasuk says as follows. Very important pasuk. Ukrasim dror ba'aretz lachol yol shvel. So the Gemara darshan in that pasuk. When is there a yovel? V'zman shekol yol shvel olam. If there's no zman shekol yol shvel olam, there's no yovel. Even in Bayis Rishon at the end, after the initial galus, we lost the yovel. So it doesn't mean kol, obviously. It means rov. Right now, as it's been historically true since that time, and the Bayis Rishon, the robe of Klal Yisrael is Mechutz Laretz. That may change. That may change in the foreseeable future. I'm not a demographer, but how many Jews do live in the world? 13 million. And how many Jews live in Eretz Yisrael? I think 6 million. So it means so it's a 7-6 margin. And unfortunately, I'm saying with sadness, many Jews in America are assimilating into marrying and not Jewish and all that stuff. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, there's a could be the majority of Jews will be, you know, again, I'm not a predictor of anything, but it could happen. First time since Bayis Rishon, since not even the end of Bayis Rishon, since somewhere, I guess, when Sancheirav came, I don't know, and then Bilbo is Kolo and Kulo. So, wow, this is told by historical things happening. Wow. So Rabbi Shechta Shalita holds that once this happens, there's no going back on it. There's no going back on it. And he said, Rabbi Shechta says, you see, clear. He wrote this in Tavshin Memches. This is in the last 50 years, from, I guess, 1938 to 1988. See, tremendous things are happening. All right, like, I guess you really could say 100 years. You want to talk about the original farmers who came to Eretz Yisrael. So he assumes that there's no going back. That's exactly the fight which is in this Hamayan. Is that true or is it not true? So Meshach was careful to say that's only not going to be a complete undoing of this agricultural blossoming and the establishment of a state. There's no guarantee about any particular part. The Yamit, when they came back from Yamit, what year was that? What was Yamit? Who remembers? What? Yamit? Wasn't Yamit in Begin's time? What was Yamit? Yamit was when they had the Camp David Accords. Yeah, about like 81, about 30 years ago or something like that, when Menachem Begin made a deal with Sadat and gave back the Sinai and 82. There you go. So it's almost 30 years ago. And they gave back Yamit. Yamit was a little outpost. It wasn't probably even Halach L'Eretz Yisrael. It was the other side of El Wadi El Arish. The whole tool. So he's writing in 88, it's 82. It's okay. Look, they gave back Gaza. It's much worse. That presumably is Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shechter writes Chalila. He doesn't say, he doesn't not want to be Poseh Peh. Chalila. If they had to give back Yerushalayim, that also wouldn't be a hakhosh of the fact that there's still a state and there's still an agriculture, etc., etc., etc. Rabbi Shechter was never as into Yom Yerushalayim as Yom HaTzvot, because he felt Yom HaTzvot is irreversible, and Yom Yerushalayim is not. Now, does it mean completely irreversible? That's this whole fight over here in this thing in Hamayan. And the opponent doesn't deny the fact that once it's a Gula Shlishis, it's not going to go back. The big question is, when does the Gula Shlishis begin? It hasn't begun yet. So, there's a whole tumble back and forth, the two different kinds of Geula. That same Gemara in Sanhedrin says there's two kinds of Geula, Rabbi Osai. There's Geula of Ita and the Geula of Achishena. The Geula at its right time, whatever it's going to be, we don't know when it is. And a quickened Geula. And the Gemara dashes it's based on two words which seem to be contradicting one to the next. It's in the Haftorah of Pashas Kiseva. Ani Hashem B'Ita Achishena. What is it? Is it Ita Achishena? Is it there are two different possible paths for this ultimate Geula? And the Gemara has two questions that gives the same answer over here in Sanhedrin on the same daf. That was on the top of the daf. This is towards the bottom of the daf. But the Gemara is discussing the following Shaila, Rabbi Osai. Gemara says, "Ksiv beito ksiv achishena." What does it mean? Zachu achishena, lo zachu beito. It will be Zoch, it'll be a blitz, whoo. And if Beita, Beachishena, if not, it'll come anyway, Beita. Next Gemara says, V'oru imanoni shmayek, it's going to come, whoo, from the heavens. The other pasuk says, Oni v'roch of alachamar, it's going to come like a poor man riding on a donkey. Zochu imanoni shmayek, lo zochu, Oni v'roch of alachamar. That means that there are two different ways that Mashiach can come. We don't know which way it's going to come. We have no clue. Zachor Achishana. So there's a whole polemic over here in this Hamayan. Machlek is one extreme to the other extreme. If it's irreversible this way, irreversible that way, have we reached the point of irreversibility yet or not? And that's what this whole pulmus, as he calls it, this whole polemic is about. Okay. And then again with Achishana, with I'm not going into the whole discussion. He does say over here, we have to be very careful not to get too carried away by saying that nothing's ever going to go wrong. We spoke about the Malot, Rabbi Amital's beautiful Sefer after the Yom Kippur War, and he has a whole discussion at the very end what he calls Hayo Lo Siya. Those they said about the Hitnakut. It won't happen. Then it did happen. So it was a terrible thing. It was terrible. It was a terrible letdown. All messianic movements are dangerous. My Rebbe was such an anti-messianist from that perspective. But then it's a disappointment. Expect Ploni to be the Mashiach, or this to be Mashiach. It doesn't happen, and then it could lead to Chalila. After Shabtai Tzvi, it was Mashiach. So when he finally converted to another religion, it was not Mashiach. It led to mass conversions out of the faith. Because it was this disillusionment. You can't promise, but you can't deliver. Yes, we believe Mashiach is going to come, but we don't know when. The question, we even have a right to say that there's not going to be another Golus. So I think that a Mashiach that goes out on a limb and says, yes, you have a right to say it. Do we say it with absolute certainty? Ani Maman Bemuna Shlema? So there are only 13 Ani Mamans. The Rambam himself says in Hilchos Melacha that we shouldn't be so sure about how this Mashiach is going to work out. We don't know exactly. But we can say we think, and we're fairly certain. And that's what Rabbi Shachta Shalit has over here in the same Maimer. Because he understands that the establishment of a holiday, he quotes this from the Nesivus. We love the Nesivus. No matter what we learn, we always have a Nesivus. The whole this year we had the Makor Chaim so many times. We'll try to quote him again next couple days. So he has a sefer on Megillas Esther. On Megillas Esther, which Rabbi Shachta Shalit quotes in this Maimer. And he says as follows. He says that the very existence, Rabosai, of the Yom Tov of Purim, this is again found in the Megillas Esther, in the Pirish of the Nesivus on the Megillah, and it's Perek Tes in the Megillah. It's such a long time for helping me to find things here in one split second, but we'll find it as I'm speaking. Where the Nesivus explained that the reason why we're able to have a Yom Tov, you're not really supposed to have any Yom Tovim after Churban Bayis Sheni, Butla Megillas Tainis, and the only time we're permitted to have here it is, Tes Yutes. It's called Megillas Torah. And you can be Koveh a Yom Tov for Aschalta the Geula, all right, and because it's the beginning of the Geula. Otherwise, you couldn't. What has Chalta the Geula? So, he says it means that there's a Nochamas. That's a Mefurish Gemara Sefta Megillah. The Nochamas, and even he quotes a Chassam Sofer, and others said when the Napoleonic War is already a Chalta the Geula. That's already a little bit much. But the fact that there are called wars in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a government in Eretz Yisrael, is an indication of Seshalta the Gula. Now, but it's important to understand that this is very, very important. Could it be that it's all a mistake? So, Bar Kokhba, here's the problem. Bar Kokhba established a government, and he even made coins, which requires official government, and at the end his Mamshala was bottled, the new. So how can that be? What happened to the Nevi'im said, not going to be a Churban Shlishi in the Medina. So, says Rav Shechta, Shekva Poska ha-historia al Bar Kokhba shelo hoysa memshalta b'mchinas memshala v'emes ala shenisa lasos mered neged ha-Romim lo etzliach b'meredo. He tried to rebel against the Romans, and it failed. Ha-shekin memshalas medinas yisrael b'zmanenu. It's certainly a memshala. It's recognized by the United Nations. It's like all the other nations in the world, and everyone assumes that this is true, and you can use their matbeis for Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, because it must be an official government. So it's not the same as Bar Kokhba. Nonetheless, it's always important to have something which is balanced. And there's a discussion over here, again. He quotes, first of all, he quotes it's an important Orach Chaim in Parshas Balak. Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Yitzayim. Dorach Kochav Miyakov Vekom Shevet Miyisroel. If it'll be a star from Shemayim, or Manon Ishmael, If it's mitzad haketz, we're not worried really so much, it's going to be Adi Baruch HaMalachamor. And he says over here, Bekom Shevet Mi Yisrael. Pirish, it's the Orachayim's words. Sheyokum Shevet Echad Mi Yisrael, Kederach HaKamim B'Olam B'Derach HaTeva. When we come back there, it's Yisrael B'Derach HaTeva. As it says, Ushval Anoshim Yokum Oleho. But even though unfortunately, the leaders of the state are not from, doesn't matter, the Orachayim already predicted it. That it's Shval Anoshim Yokum Oleho. Right, so this is there that we, even though we didn't see breaking of the laws of nature, it's not why it's not as hard to the Gula, that the Navi is correct, and then those hosts of all the Shakram. Nafka Mina Rabbos, I have to make a Yom Tov. I said that I mentioned it before, Megillah's time, this is bottle. So the Prichodesh writes, in Arachayim Simen Tov Tzad Yivav, it's also the Kvava Yom Tov as Manche Vesemigashkai. I, the Maram Alashka, writes that a B'nei Ha'ir can make a Takana to make a Yom Tov. So the Chayodam and the Vichus Purim and the Malbim on that same Poskin to say only for Yechidim, a family, a city, but to make a Yom Tov for all of Klal Yisrael is Asur. Is Asur. And the Chasam Solo, with its reason, he calls the Tshuva, Yerodea Simulation on the Gimel, was against Lag B'Omer. All the Hilulus is against it. Can I get a new yontif? Not allowed. Can you imagine that? Not allowed. Brackets. It's a pella, says Rav Shach B'Shlita. All this was somehow escaped the attention of the Hagoyin or Adir Bala Mechaber Tshuvas Kol Mevaser. We had, remember when we learned about the Mechanica time, we had the Tshuvas Kol Mevaser, those who remember, from Meshulam Roth. He said that there's no problem making yontif. He brought a riot from Maram Alashka. No! That's only for a particular local community. This is not meant for the whole Klal Yisrael. Oh, so the question becomes, how do you do this? The answer is that we can only have a Yom Tov of Purim because, as the Nesiva said, it's Mechias HaMolek, the Chachmei HaTorah assume it's a Bechina of Aschalta de Gula. They had a right to make a Yom Tov. A right to make a Yom Tov. Now, what do you see from the Nesivis? I'm quote. Shekol ma'ora shalichora, lichora is bold. Nira lana lefit da'atenik aschad adegula. Av she'en lana yudia berura al-kach v'nevua beruach ha-kodesh. Baruta lana lino kebo din Yom Tov. And therefore he's saying, based on the Nesivis, you know, we don't have 100%. That's your right to obey. You know, 100%, you can't be sure. But nonetheless, we're sure enough that we have a right to establish a Yom Tov. And therefore, this Yom Tov of which is established in Heir is permissible according to this understanding. Okay, so we have a little bit, it's much more. I can't give you the whole Bible here. But yeah. Again, in the very last page, he quotes Chasam Sofer. That who said that even the wars of the Napoleonic Wars is very aschalta de gula. That's a chiddush. That's a little bit shver. But in Eretz Yisrael, 1948, this seems to be pshat. And he says he claims he quotes from Yaakov Kamenetsky at the beginning and the end of the Maimer. It's been one long war since 1948 to this minute. They never made peace. It's still parts of the Arabs never made peace. That's the Egypt's on the peace treaty. Hope it lasts now, the new regime. But it's still one big war. Everybody's saying, this is some thoughts. It's much what we said, but we have to go back to Mesaf Pesachim. So, Baruch Hashem, a lot of everyone who wants to learn about this should read this Maimer. Again, it's Simon Lam and Beis. If you want to be Hamayan, it's here as well. Yes, sir, take your question.
Question about the observance of Imhasmo.
Yes.
He could decline to answer if he wants. Someone told me that they're having a carnival for Yom HaAtzmaut right outside the Beis Medrash, and it's going to be a co-ed carnival. Someone suggested that it would be appropriate just to go somewhere else other than Gluck to learn, this sort of just to express a displeasure.
I don't believe it's just protests. The best protests in the world are sitting on the Beis Medrash. They shouldn't close out the Beis Medrash.
Go to learn on another Beis Medrash.
Why? What's wrong with our Beis Medrash? look, if they're making so much noise, it's going to become a disturbance. You're leaving because it's too noisy. But we should abdicate our base medesh because others doing things outside the base medesh. So when they had a Super Bowl party, I was told they had something, I don't know, they moved it, they had it, I don't know what's going on.
This is right on 185th Street, right outside the base medesh.
We'll see. I'm glad you brought it to my attention. We'll see what's going on. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Yes, sir.
So halacha l'maaseh, I guess, what is Freddie's opinion about what is appropriate for Yom HaAtzmaut?
I believe in open orthodoxy. That you have there can be many different approaches, all of which have validity. You know, I'm not sat, but I say kinas and echa. They feel that this is a violation of sholayala v'choma. And Shef Toshmita thinks it's ridiculous. He writes that it's fine, but I'm not going to get it out with theology stuff. For those who don't know, it's a gemara b'sefer Ketubot, it's a gimel shvuos. Sholayala v'choma, we shouldn't fight against the goyim. If we violated it, he quotes that the stipler thinks that the stop wherever is pillar to one. Doesn't understand. So if the stipler doesn't understand, living in Bnei Brak, how can we understand living in being in Washington Heights, whatever? But those who want to say kinas and echa have no problem with that. That's their theology. They think it's a tragedy, and they want to say echa and kinas. I give them my bracha. They take it seriously. They're not apathetic. They have a particular point of view. I think that the establishment of the Zionist state is not going to lead to the coming of the Mashiach. It's only prevented the coming of the Mashiach, in their opinion. And therefore, they consider it a tragedy of historical proportions. No one ever said they were apathetic. Okay? So that's how they conduct themselves. That's fine. Most of the, we'll call it the Haredi world, this is a small, tiny fraction. Tiny, it's not tiny. But not all Satmas conduct themselves in that fashion. But most of the rest of the Hasidic world and the Yeshiva world, they do nothing. They don't do anything. They just treat it as any other day. And that's also their right. They say, what are you making? You have no right to make changes in our luach. We have a luach which we've been using for 1,000 years, and we make changes for. Who are you to make a change? You haven't made a change in the luach since, I don't know, since Hanukkah. Who are you making changes? You have no right to make changes. You need this, you need after Chasimah Talmud, you can make changes. That's what they'll say. I respect that also. I have tremendous respect for that. Okay? Of course, the question then becomes, so what is it? It's an attitudinal question. They don't make any change in the luach. That we can't do. What's their attitude? So generally speaking, I would say, by and large, the attitude of this part of the world is positive. Because they open their eyes. There's never been so much learning in Eretz Yisrael, ever. I mean, certainly not in our recorded history. Certainly not since Bayis Sheni, for sure now, as it is now in Eretz Yisrael. So it's a wonderful thing that goes on. The politics of Eretz Yisrael, the people who are running the government. Look, when I was in Karen Biavda, they used to say, "I am pro Medina and anti Memshala." That was the word that they used to use. Okay, so you can call it anti Medina because of the Memshala. But they're not against the existence of a state. Nah, almost nobody's against. So the question becomes, why don't they celebrate? After all, there were such miracles. Why don't they celebrate? I once spoke at the yeshiva, and there was a member of the Haredi community who was there, and they asked him in the back, so why aren't you celebrating? Oh, everyone celebrates. Everyone celebrates. They do it differently. I don't think that's quite the case. And if you remember, I think I mentioned this when we were on Chanukah, I brought in a piece by Rabbi Dablitsky, Shalita, tremendous goyin and a kubul and tzaddik, and was in Bnei Brak, was wondering how come no one's celebrating the fact that we were saved from the complete destruction. He was talking about 67. What's going on? This is a makes Purim cotton into what he called it, a Purim spiel. If you recall, we spoke about that. It's a tzarach yin gadol. So the problem is it's because of the fear, since they are opposed to the Zionist movement, and even the religious Zionist movement as a political movement, so there can't be any give on any celebrations, because it's going to lead to results which they're not in favor of. I can understand that too. I understand it perfectly. Even though in 67, as Dr. Blitzky writes, every Jew is in danger, he doesn't think people are an Am Chokham Benavim. There are people who think that they would flash their Agudas Yisrael to that Zehut, that the Arabs wouldn't have killed them. But they wouldn't belong to the Tzionish. No one is that silly. I thought he came. He doesn't understand it. I also don't understand it too well. That's because it is. They don't want to be as you remember, the frum guy is going to measure what you don't say. Okay, I love all Jews, and if that's their cheshbonus, I have a tremendous respect for these cheshbonus. Hey, here, Rav Kashi already wrote, you may remember we spoke about this last time, Ma'isei Yodai Tovim B'yam Shal Kfira V'atim Amam Shira. That was his explanation of why many Haredim were so upset that they couldn't bring themselves to say how. That's nothing to do with 67. No kfira in 67. That was just a bit of a sort of carryover. Yeah, that's also those who say halal on Yom HaTzur, whether it was today or tomorrow, whatever they do, so they have what to rely upon. I already mentioned to you that it's preferred that the halal be said without a bracha after the davening is over. That's what my Rebbe said. That's what came out from all our discussions of a few months ago. Those who say with a bracha, we love them too. Every Jew, we love every Jew. We try to love every Jew. It should not be so doctrinaire, dogmatic. You know, my way or the highway, has to be doctored this way. We don't know. Sometimes we do not know. We should fulfill in the mitzvah of Yahav to L'Recha Kamocha. That'll be our contribution to the Karav the Gula. We all want the Gula, right? So what should we do about it? Bang something over there with one of those beans, barbecue. That's the Karav the Gula. I don't think so. Yahav to L'Recha Kamocha, the Karav the Gula. That's with Blat Gemara, Mekarav Gula, Stoka, Chesra. We all need Mekarav Gula. Okay, that's my answer to your question. Do you have any particular question?
What about the
Kriya Satorah? Kriya Satorah. This morning we had Kriya Satorah.
But it was also Yom
Sheni. Exactly. Baruch Hashem. Where we come from, we don't have these things. My Rebbe was very much against these kinds of things. So I'm also against it, but again, those who do, I love them too. We have to love all of them. It's very important. Very, very important. I have a for all of the bodies. Okay, any other questions before we get over to our Pesachim? Yes.
About Tefillah Chagigit,
what does that mean? You saying Halo?
No, I mean, like tonight or something, from Arab, they sing the Chazodi.
I can't sing the Chazodi on Friday night. That's where I came from. I don't know, it's a new tradition. How could I be against when they do the Chadodi? There's some place I'm told that a woman is a Chazan for the Chadodi.
So,
the ground word on the Chadodi doesn't mean anything. So if it doesn't mean anything, so you're going to have the Chadodi tonight as well. If it doesn't mean anything. I attach more meaning to it, and therefore a woman's not a Chazan. And therefore, tonight it was not. But I understand. When I was in Karamiyah, they did it that way. That must have been the Pesach of the chief rabbi going back to.
Changed the course line.
What?
Instead of L'chadodi, it's the Yom HaSod
Hashem. Oh, well, fine. Yeah, I understand. So, look, that's what they did. The chief rabbi decreed it presumably when the state was established. My rabbi was very much against these kinds of things. Very much opposed. He was even more opposed. They had the long Pesuk of the Zimmer for Shabbos. He wouldn't like that. Lenin never entered his radar screen. That was, I think, at one point it was a minute of B'nai Akiva. That once happened to me. When I was a Talmud, I once walked into, and it was a Monday or a Thursday. And instead of laning whatever was supposed to lane, Kedoshim, there wasn't a lane for Parshas Eken. Eken, actually. Either I'm confused or. Apparently, that was a psalm they received from some rabbanim to learn Parshas Eken, it was a beautiful by Eretz Yisrael. Okay. When I was a Rav, I went to a different minyan. I wanted to hit Kedosh. So the Rav didn't even know about that ever. But the Haftorah, that they do the Haftorah, which is the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach, because in Eretz Yisrael they don't have it. There's no last day, there's no Achron Shel Pesach. So they took that beautiful Messianic Haftorah and they laid it on the 5th of Iyar. Rav was against that. He felt it wasn't the problem. But again, those who do it after Chalil of Chas, I really mean it. People have a right to do their thing. They have their own rabbanim and their own shittas. The most important thing we can do is to be accepting of all Jews. That's what I think. Yes.
What about listening to music on Yom HaTzur?
Yeah. You're assuming that you're not listening to music on Sfirah. That's still very questionable. If you look at the classical Sfarim, never says it. Baruch Hashem was the first one to talk about music, speaking of Kavach Homer from dancing. It's a Kavach Homer Krich. Most people that think that dancing is a bigger symbol than they just try to listen to music. So again, but they have your chagigas and all things that dancing, which is a minig, not to dance in sphere. That's true. A minig exists. But if they have the meaning to celebrate the independence of the state of Israel, then that's the meaning in that place. So that's the meaning. You have to be accepting of that too. Yes.
Shaving?
What?
Shaving?
So I mentioned yesterday that on that Hey year of Tavshin Chav Zion, I was privileged to be in Eretz Yisrael. I went the night of Hey year to hear up to Yehuda. It's the Chorin Levroch, and he spoke about Beit Lechem Yer HaKodesh, and Chevron Yer HaKodesh, but one of the line I remember is as follows. This is the line I remember. And I think someone, if I'm not mistaken, recently I saw, you probably get it online somewhere, they reprinted his drasha. There's a transcript. Everything he said, you'll see the line about Beit Lechem Yer HaKodesh, you'll see it there. But there's one line that also reprinted, and I remember like yesterday. Efshar Livot Al Pnei HaBachurim Miyem HaMaminim U'Miyem HaKoyfrim. Which meant, if you shave, you're a Maimon. And if you're not, you're a Kofrim. I was a Kofrim until it happened that night. I had to shave. So that's what you use. He felt that if you really hold to this, then you should push off the Easter of shaving. I think all yeshiva, even the Maminim don't shave. I don't think it's common to have people shaving. Eretz Yisrael is different. It's Eretz Yisrael. It's Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's that same. You know, by Schwartz Shlita, they asked him a few from Chicago. They asked him a few, I think, a couple of years ago. They started this new thing. It used to be that the fifth day of the year can either be, it's always whatever it is. It could be Monday today, it could be Wednesday, it could be Friday, or it could be Shabbos. Only 4 days it could come. Good. So if it's Friday or Shabbos, they already moved back to Thursday. If it's Wednesday, it's Wednesday. If it's Monday, all the years from. It's only a few years. It was Monday. What's wrong with Monday? Monday. What's wrong with Monday? Back to work. Monday. What's the middle of the week? A couple of years ago, the chief rabbis thought that if you have a Yom HaTzimut on Monday, then what's going on Sunday? So they're going to cause Chil Shabbos Motzi Shabbos. Someone came to me today, as an aside, before I get to my Rabbi Schwartz reminding. Someone came to me and said, Rabbi, I read on the internet, they want to postpone Lag BaOmer. Why? I'm after that. You can't postpone the sphere, but they postpone the medurot and everything. Why? Makes a lot of sense. When do they make all the hachanas of the medurot? On that day. It's a Motzei Shabbos. It's a Motzei Shabbos. It's called Chilul Shabbos. Because the Jews are mechallel Shabbos and they're preparing the medurot. Who thinks that those who observe Lag BaOmer, which is against the Chasam Sofer, by the way, who thinks that they're going to make their bonfires a day later? Loyal Adas! I asked him to get it on, and he says on the internet. I said, let me see it. I haven't seen it yet. Anyway, so Rabbi Schwartz also thought, this is ridiculous. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yom HaZikaron. There's no, in America, there's no Yom HaZikaron. There's no Chilul Shabbos. No nothing. Monday! You know what happened? He got flack. The chief rabbinate said, what are you doing going against the chief rabbinate? He said, I'm talking about an American. He got so much flack, he had to back out. Now he just doesn't say anything. In my shul, whatever celebrations that there were done today. And I don't the pass anything. Yes.
Isn't there Gemara Kesuvos that talks about Yom Kippur falls on a Monday, so you're supposed to eat on Sunday, right? So it says, so if the mitzvah is also at night, there's a problem because
Shema Yishchot Ben Ov. Correct. You're right.
So there's
The Rabbanim all mean well. Chalila v'chas, if you love Allah Yidin, we certainly love Allah Rabbanim. You should live b'shal. Okay, I have to share it out with this. We have to get them back to the self. Okay. I'm going to say, please open your Gemaras in the Sefer Pesachim. Oh, tomorrow I'm told Shia is 11:30, is that correct? Minyan of the Yom, is that correct? Is that one? You want Shia run the clock? Whatever you want. What if they mean want Shia tomorrow? No. This is for the Ramadan. No. Before 11:30? Everyone wants 11? Take a vote. Who wants 11:30? Raise your hand. Who wants 1 o'clock? Raise your hand. Nobody. I guess 11:30 has to. I like to stick to the official calendar. I don't like to be a right. I'm not sure it's going to be here or somewhere else. So it's room issues. But I'm assuming it's going to be here. In all likelihood. But okay. On both sides, we're holding here in the third paragraph of Masechet Pesachim. I have to tell you, I can't resist. One more minute. Rabbi Sheftel's long mimer begins in Pesachim. Believe it or not. begins the Masechta Pesachim. Yep. What's the Masechta Pesachim? Daf Nun Vav Amar Alf. Nun Vav Amar Alf. Kit says that in the second wide line. Kit says Dalsal Shal Hechel V'Shiklan Melech Asher V'Lahod V'Lo. Now Chama were upset. That's how Masechta starts the long mind over here. And about Medina Yisrael of Chama Seah by quoting this Gemara in Masechta Pesachim. That's how it starts. Can you imagine how it starts with Pesachim? The very first page, page Resh Hey. Right, so how's Rashi say? Lohodolo. Shahoyal aleftoch bakadosh baruch hu sh'omar v'ganosi al ha'ir azos lo shir. He should have had faith in Hashem. But had he not, had not been for the words of the Navi, it would be appropriate to cut down the doors of the Hechel. Ein lecha davar sh'omar v'nei b'kuach nefesh. Okay? So there are those who say we should give up Yesh menanochel levater al Yehuda v'shomron, and even to give back the base of Mikdash in order to v'pishim pikuach nefesh. That's sort of what my Rebbe said, that pikuach nefesh is doch everything. However, Rabbi Shechter responds by saying, no, this is a milchama time. He quotes Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's a milchama straight since 1948. In a milchama, you can't. It's will people die in a milchama? Absolutely. Milchas Chinuch writes that you can't say that Pikuach Nevesh is Dochel Mechama. Then you're not on Mechama. Because Mechama, by definition, is going to be casualties. But the only time you're allowed to stop to give up is if you're going to lose the war. If you're going to lose the war, then of course you shouldn't fight. Because the bigger Pikuach Nevesh, you lose more casualties. How you define winning, how you define losing? The Shepherd's famous piece is defined by the people who live there. Same as by a chola, the chola has what to write with the side. That's at the whole beginning of this long mimer. So I just wanted to tell you that it's not Salsa Pesachim on the afternoon vote. Okay, back to our third pair. Okay.